Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network and Omaha Productions. Cousin Sal coming to you on this Thursday morning. Yes, spaghetti and meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. Big Thursday nighter, Shaq. Your team on the road. You're scared? I can tell you're scared. I'm looking at you. You're frightened. You're shaking a little bit.
Legitimately, I am nervous for this one. You don't want to fall to 1-2. Everybody on the banks of the Three Rivers, I'm in touch with many people over there, and they're all begging for Kenny Pickett to get in. Of course, the problem is if Kenny Pickett gets in, that means Trubisky stinks, and that means the Browns likely have won in week 3. That's not good news for the 2022 season. So, yes, I'm a ball of nerves.
I'm excited about it. I have a new outlook on this Browns team. I don't know, Martin, if you've come around on either of these teams, but we'll discuss it in a second. We're also going to have Will Blackman, your co-host, Martin, from Lemon Pepper Parlay. That's been going swimmingly so far, that friendship. I'm going to call it a friendship. I'm going to go that far.
You know, I'm not sure if we can go that far yet. Will was very upset with the fact that I said I did not know how to cook brag about. Like, the idea that I just feed myself and don't feel like I can serve a dinner party is something that Will took major offense to. Completely out of left field, but I'm not sure if I can go friends just yet.
After, we'll get into that because, Shaq, I want to know your thoughts on that too. But after Will broke it down about like how lame it is that men can't cook or men who say they can't cook, and we're not talking about Russ cooking, let Russ cook. It has nothing to do with that. This is men. And I was like, oh, he's right. He's right. It's kind of pathetic. It is just following directions.
And it's the worst than just following directions. You know what the directions were for this? Be on this call at 10 a.m. Boom. Did. Easy. I did that just fine. It wasn't be on this call. Go like set a timer for 20 minutes. Make sure you come back. Make sure. And then also, too.
Well, it's more directions. Cooking, but yeah, it's still directions. Well, yeah.
The outcome, you can't light. I can't light this on fire if I'm late. If I'm late to getting my dinner out the oven, I'll probably have a fire on my hands and burn down my apartment building.
All right. Shaq, where do you lay? We'll let Will set us all straight, but
I feel like, as you kind of indicated, there's a difference between being able to cook something and being a chef. I can birdie a hole once in a while, but that doesn't make me a professional golfer. Yeah. Same sort of thing here. I did dabble in cooking a little bit in the 90s. I just wanted to see. It was like one of those skills to see, like, how hard is this? 90s. I learned how to make, and I still probably could. I could make a dynamite red sauce, a nice arrabbiata. I can make, to this day, dynamite crab cakes. I've made pot stickers. But at some point, you're right. It's like, what's the thrill? Okay, so I followed the directions and I made them. There they are.
Enjoy. Well, we have more mouths to feed than we did 30 years ago as you brag about your dynamite crab cakes, but I understand. All right, let's not get sidetracked here. It's football talk today. Will Blackman's going to join us in a second. We have contests out there, extrapoints.com/arcade. You can do your pick'em contest. That's all the games listed on Sunday. I won this last week, and I'm letting it roll over. $200 now goes to the winner.
$203.
Yes. Shaq is throwing $3 in. It happens to be Martin's $3. Martin is the leader of all of us on the staff, the Extra Points Pod. What are you, 20-10, Martin?
That's right. I think that's what it was. 20-10. Absolutely.
Pretty damn good.
And I hate to tell the winner of the contest, I'm going to rob you for $3. So, sorry.
Oh, yes, that's right. Martin is a second time this week. He's made a criminal a threat there. But all right, hopefully the Mannings aren't listening. And then there's the prop quiz, which all sorts of things, which fantasy player will have the most points, will more underdogs cover or more favorites. Lots of stuff to get to, extrapoints.com/arcade. All right, forget all these contests. Let's bring in our guest. He's a Super Bowl champ and a wine expert who knows all about the perfect pairings. And now we've paired him with Martin Weiss as the co-host of Lemon Pepper Parlay, the newest member of the Extra Points family. Will Blackman is here. What's happening, Will?
Yo, what up, man?
Oh, it's great to
have you. I'm excited.
Oh, well, we're all excited. I'm going to get the unpleasantness or whatever, the uncomfortableness right out of the way. How is Martin doing so far? And as a co-host, I really want you to be honest here. What's the scouting
report? You're going to ask. You need to ask him.
Ask him. He's going to say he's doing great.
I personally think I'm
he's doing fantastic. You know, I found out he can't cook worth a damn the other day. And that kind of that put a little asterisk on the friendship.
I don't know if I can go French.
What did I tell you? He said friendship. I said friendship, too, for you two. But were discussing this, Will. And I think you made me look at this differently, where I was like, all right, if cooking's your thing, it's your thing. But the way you broke it down is like any man who can't cook is pathetic. I said, oh, crap, he's right. He's right. It's a sign of laziness.
You just follow instructions. That's it. You don't need to be super fancy or Bobby Flay. You just follow instructions.
Yes. You know? Sometimes there's a lot more instructions than you want to handle. Yeah, but thank you.
Hey, I'll tell Martin this. I'll tell you this, Martin. Friends keep it real with each other. So see, you know what I'm saying? I'm keeping it up.
I like it.
You know,
look at that. You're friends already, Martin. That did not take long at all.
Well, I'm glad you agree with that. Even though, you know, I did put some things in the oven yesterday and it came out and I have survived. But, you know, no gourmet.
Usually takes a couple of days before the hold on.
Now, Will Blackman, me and Sal and you have kids. And so, you know, being able to get in there and whip up a nice grilled cheese or a quesadilla or otherwise, that's a required skill for a decent parent when mom's out of the house at minimum.
That's a decent skill for an 8-year-old.
Okay, listen. But for Marty, who's still out there playing the field a little bit, and the other people, you want to have, am I right in saying one dish? You want to have, like, you don't need to go deeper than that, but if you can make one nice dish for your lady friend, you're a winner. Fair?
No.
Oh, okay.
What's the 2.5, the over-under? What is it? More than?
No, just take her out to eat.
Oh, okay. Oh, so zero.
I kind of feel like
why do we need to cook
that? What the hell?
I feel like it's having one pair of Jordans. If you only have one pair of Jordans, they're going to be the only shoe you ever want to wear. If you have a bunch, you do it a bunch. If you only have one meal, you should take her out to eat. Because you only got one pitch. You know what I'm saying? You can't, you got nothing else. You got no curveball coming down the pipe. You might as well just don't even set the expectations at the right level.
Well, that's exactly right.
Let me
right.
make sure I got.
If you have 3 meals, she's going to expect you to have 7 meals. If you have one, you could stick to one. I see what you're saying.
Look, chicken, fish, beef. You're good.
All right.
Fish is tough to cook. Because it's very delicate. Although I can make some gangbusters scallops in addition to the crab cakes I can whip up. Now, Blackman, let me see if I got the flow right. I'm courting a young lady, let's say. What I've always said is people who do like the fine dining experience on the first date, now you have nowhere to go but down. Right? I mean, I don't think that's not a good way to start things off. And plus, you're uptight if you're in a fancy restaurant. Take her somewhere easy breezy the first go around, then get fancy after, like, you know, second date, third date and beyond, and then get to cooking your own meal for her somewhere date 4 or 5. Is that right?
It depends on the plan, you know? If you just enjoy her company, then you find a mutual place you guys like hanging out. If you're really trying to do something, then I don't know. Or maybe it's just your lifestyle. Maybe even on your own, you just dine at the finest places. That's what you do. Or you go to places where you know the chef or the owner or the manager is going to take care of you. So, I mean, okay. You know, it all depends. There's no right
answer. You see what I tell you? What do I tell you, Sal and Marty, all the time? Football players reside in a different reality. Oh, yeah, if you just happen to know the chef.
What do you mean football players?
Go to multiple restaurants. If you're a celeb, you're a celebrity. So, of course, you can go to restaurants and they're
what
like,
are you doing? What are you?
Socially awkward and has never made a friend outside who doesn't watch tackle football. So he can't go and shake a hand with the chef and be
what's,
able to walk
wow. What's bad? Okay, here's what's bad. If you're an NFL player and you know certain restaurants and you keep bringing certain women you're dating to these restaurants, everyone knows who you are, and then they see everything that you're doing. So no, that's not fair.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Tony Soprano ran into that, didn't he? A couple of times in his favorite eatery.
For sure. for sure. We know how it ended for him. Oh, we don't know how it ended.
You know what you do? You do group dinners. You do group lunches.
That's what it is. Mm. That's what they respect. Yeah. All right, listen. I didn't think we'd talk this much football with you. I'll be honest. I mean, you're probably dizzy from the X's and O's, but I do want to know.
Since you were
the only one actually to say you worked with our very new coworker, teammate Eli Manning before, maybe boss even. How is he as a teammate? What do we need to know? What can we expect for Christmas and things like that?
He's like working with Eddie Spaghetti.
He's just chill.
He just chills quietly in the background and does his job.
I don't know if Eddie's ever chilled quietly. That's interesting.
Listen, I worked on Dave's show with him, and so far this show with him, he's been chilling, and that's kind of how Eli is very chill. Yeah. So just you know, he's never yelling. He's always neutral. Yeah. He just handles his business. And that's like the most respect you can have for a person is like, you know what you're going to get. They're going to go out there and handle their business.
All right. So Eddie Spaghetti, by the way, that's the biggest smile I've ever seen at Eddie Spaghetti. Quite a compliment from Will. Now, Eddie and I'm a Cowboys fan. Eddie is obviously a Giants fan. We have a bet one-on-one. We're going to reach and dip into the cap of consequences. Maybe you could be here for this. One of us has to do something really stupid after the their team
really
loses.
Stupid.
Yeah. So, for instance, the 40-yard mash. The loser must run a 40-yard dash while the rest of the staff lines up throwing mashed potatoes at them. That'd be fun for you, right, Will, to throw mashed potatoes? Have you thrown mashed potatoes?
They're going to miss.
Well, it depends what kind of cook you are. Actually, it doesn't. No, you're right.
Mashed are the potatoes?
Yeah, right.
I'm going to throw them with it still in the bowl. I'm going to just throw the whole bowl at them.
You're going to get just throw a box of spuds at them.
I guess we should have thought that one through better. All right, Big Tuna. Bill Parcells obviously coached both the Giants and Cowboys. So in honor of the Big Tuna, the loser will wear an actual tuna fish on his head underneath their headset throughout the podcast.
That's pretty good. Bad.
I mean, that's bad, but
like the canned tuna?
Right. Yeah, it could be canned tuna. I think like an actual fish would be a funnier visual.
That's pretty bad. No, the canned tuna, because the stench is going to be in your hair for a while.
I know, it ruins some equipment and stuff. All right, well, we'll work that out if it's picked. The tuna juice
dripping on the side, that's going to be gnarly. That might be the winner. Yeah. All right, what's the other one?
Jeremy's Shockey. The loser will have to hold or wear a buzzer device that the winner controls that could give him a small shock whenever the loser gives an answer they don't like. That's fun.
It's fun.
That's up my alley, I think. Yeah.
Hey, how about this one? You guys are Sal is an Islanders guy. Spaghetti's a Rags guy. What if you wear the sweaters of the greatest goons in your franchise?
No, let's keep it to Giants, Cowboys.
And then you have to figure, and then you get to put your favorite wrestling move on the loser. Figure four leg lock.
He just jumps in here. He just jumps in here and just, you know, that's not bad at all.
Oh,
we'll say that for another bet.
Right.
Say that for another bet. We'll throw that in the Rangers.
All right. Ake Man, the loser must apply Icy Hot all over themselves at the top of the podcast. Can't take it off until the show is over. All right. So those are the four we'll put in the hat. Are you ready, Spaghetti?
Oh, we're doing it now.
Yeah, let's do it now in front of Will. Why not? I got her here. I'm wearing a Cowboys hat.
I just hope that Sal's it. I really just hope it's an easy one for you. I don't want you to have to.
Oh, wow. He's so confident.
No, not ready. He said, not ready. I do not look
ready.
Icy
hot.
Will.
Broadway Spaghetti. He's guaranteeing a win.
Eddie obviously has not watched the Cowboys defense play in the last couple weeks. He's never been more confident in this. All right, here we go.
No, Will, that's a jest.
I don't think Micah Parsons is playing quarterback.
Yeah, but still, a guarantee.
I know. All right, here we go. Oh, crap. Big Tuna. Big Tuna.
Is it the Big Tuna?
Sorry, one of us is wearing tuna of some sort over our heads come Monday or Tuesday, I guess. That's disgusting.
Sal, you really made this bet with the idea that you have not only is it Cooper Rush, he's also a redhead at quarterback. Like, how do you feel?
What? I didn't know that. I'm out of this. I'm getting out.
I was just saying, yikes.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, there'll be a second bet, too, when the Cowboys play home. But let me ask you, Will, what was more exciting when you got the call from the Packers in 2006 that they drafted you in the fourth round or when babyface Joel Solomon called and asked if you were available to join Extra Points this morning? Be honest.
You know what? when Joe called, yeah. When Joe called, I was like, oh, dude, look, what's up? You know, yeah. Good to talk to him. But when I saw the 920 number, I said, where the F is this?
What is 920, Joel? 920.
No, that's the Green Bay when they called.
Oh, I see. Oh, I got you. I'm sorry.
I'm giving the two experiences.
I screwed that up. Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
And then by this time, I was already like livid and just annoyed because it was already fourth round. I was like, oh, shoot. I'm going to Green Bay. Damn, I'm going to Green Bay. It was like Home Alone.
So that must have – you must have been like, well, thank God I wasn't completely overlooked, but –
I made my parents disappear. Yeah. I made my parents disappear. And I was like, damn, I'm going to Green Bay.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Green Bay. I was just finally happy to get picked.
What did you think, Will, of the video that made the scene this week of Amon-Ra St. Brown ticking off everybody who was drafted and how he's resentful of all the receivers drafted in front of him? This has been my experience over and over again. Every guy has a chip on his shoulder about the guys, and they can list off one by one, whatever position group they are, all the guys drafted ahead of them. Are you one of those guys as well?
I did not keep a list. I didn't keep a Arya Stark list like Amon-Ra does. But he's on record several times saying like he has this list. And I'm on record saying like, actually, I think I pinned it because he was talking. I said, this is my sleeper of the draft. Like whoever gets him is going to like just be super excited. I had the pleasure of, you know, being here in Southern Cal, and I got to watch him at Mater Dei and go to all these camps and just obliterate people. Then he goes to USC, has a good career there. And now, you know, just knowing how he is in his mindset, and also he's the youngest of three, so he's super competitive. He already worked hard enough where he'll say something and he's going to still handle business. So I know everyone's like, oh, I'm losing respect, you know, his ego, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, you can't compete in this league if you don't have some kind of an ego. Now, sure, maybe he could have said something else, but he's already been on record saying, I have a list. It's just that the tough thing is when a reporter asks a specific question and you answer it as is – then that's, you know, you took the bait, but I'm sure he doesn't
chip on the shoulder. That's old news.
He got a Dorito.
And what wine does Doritos go with? I mean, your wine, I mentioned it. You're all about the wine now. And so I was wondering this, does this like take over your life? And like when you see a meal or someone throws, like Shaq is talking about fish, do you immediately think, oh, I have to now figure out what wine goes?
I don't know if it takes over my life. I don't know if it does.
Who knows? Who can we ask?
I don't know if it takes over my life at all by any means, guys. I have no idea.
It's all over, guys. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what? It reminds me of that scene in Hard Knocks. He's holding wine bottles like Khalil Pimpleton was trying to field the punts. How many wine bottles could you catch from a jugs machine as they're coming down?
Oh, wow.
Well, we got to set it up. We got to get a jug machine that shoots out wine bottles. Also, Doritos, it depends, right? If you want, you go cheddar, that flavor, you want something to go with that. So maybe like a red blend. I wouldn't say straight cab because maybe the astringency from the acidity.
Look at this. He actually has an answer for this. This is phenomenal.
But if you go, I like the spicy
Cool Ranch,
Doritos. Yeah. I go spicy Doritos, and with that, you need a wine that's sweeter. And with a wine that's sweeter, it has lower level of alcohol. Because what happens is if you have something spicy with something with alcohol, it elevates the alcohol. Mm. So like this wine right here is like 14.5%. So if I had something spicy, it's going to make the food even more spicy. That's why when you go to Asian restaurants, you'll see a lot of Riesling, right? A lot of sweet wines on the list because you're going to have spicy foods. It's going to take the heat down.
I go rosé year round. I am with you, bro.
At the end of the day.
Nice crisp rosé is always a good choice, especially in Southern California.
It's refreshing. Yeah. It's refreshing.
Yeah. Cools. A lot of fellas will go like, you drink rosé? And I'll be like, you're GD right, I do, man. And you're
I love this. No, just food and wine. No football.
I know. This is my fault. I mean, you said Dorito, you said chip on the shoulder, and I have a good question.
Yes, I have a good question because you mentioned Eli and he and his brother are, of course, the faces of Omaha. You have to win a playoff game, 60 minutes. Eli on one side, Peyton on the other. Whose team do you want to be on?
Oh, boy.
Well, Eli's. I mean,
look at that.
I was.
I don't know if we're allowed to celebrate.
It wasn't even a thought. It wasn't even a thought. I was. Speaking of Cowboys, Anthony Brown does have a literally have a chip on his shoulder. Tattooed.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that. Really?
I'm dead serious. Wow. I'm dead serious. I think it's a ruffle.
Oh, I just bid $8 on him. I probably would have bid more for him, his services. That's great. Will, you have a big upset. Now, I know we talked about the Lions, and I like them too this year. I at least think they're fun this year. They could be like a Chargers team of years past where don't expect 13 wins, but they're going to be in every game, and they're fun, and their offense is
what
fun.
Do you mean of years past?
Well, I guess, yeah, they're the same. Yeah, you can't exactly. No, I'm saying
that. Well, no. Well, because well, now they're in better. Years past, yeah. They at least they had like Hall of Famers on their offense like that. They were exciting.
Oh, you don't like this? You know? Who are we talking about? The Chargers still? You don't like this?
No, when you said Chargers of years past.
I'm saying you didn't expect them to win, but they were in every game. And then their kicker would miss at the end, or they, you know, the doctor would stab the quarterback on the sideline and something would go awry. But wow, you're taking the Lions to beat the Vikings. It's part of your lemon pepper parlay. Like, you have the Dolphins plus six, the Chargers minus seven. And the Lions to actually beat the Vikings. Big upset. That's your pop of the week.
Yeah, you know what? It's more so like with any team, it's all about the culture, you know? And I'm sure at first everyone was like, oh, you know, the bite in the knees or this, that, and the third and what have you. But Coach Campbell's an emotional wreck. Every time he talks, he says anything. and you can tell he genuinely – cares about in each individual on that team. Mm-hmm. And that is the easiest way to get guys to play for you is to truly like show them like you have their best interest.
Right.
You know? And I think overall this team is allowed to compete. Speaking of chip on the shoulder, I mean I feel like everyone on the Lions has a chip on their shoulder, especially their main two guys in terms of like Goff, you know,
right,
and Amon-Ra. Like them two out the gate are like, look, we're trying to like make it happen. Goff obviously getting traded, you know, out of his team. Mm-hmm. Amon-Ra going later than he should have. You have a secondary that, you know, has a great coach, Aubrey Pleasant, who's trying to prove themselves like they can get it done. You have Aiden, who's, you know, hometown kid and trying to, you know, be the hero there. So I think overall, every single week, them dudes, they're going to bring it. They're going to absolutely bring it. And when I look at Minnesota, that first game against Green Bay, they literally just did not cover Justin Jefferson.
Throw it out.
They just didn't
That's
do
what
it.
I say. Throw it out.
They just didn't cover him. And Philly did.
Yep.
They did not give the ball to Dalvin Cook, which I was furious about because he's on my team, but they didn't. So I like Detroit. Now, sure, it's not prime time. It's in Minnesota. If it was in Detroit, I'd be even more excited about this. But I think Detroit's going to walk in. They don't have a long flight to travel. They're going to go in there, and it's going to be competetive, pretty close. But I think Detroit gets
that is a hefty, big, hefty big dog Swift game. Taking it. I mean, it's a cat technically. It's the lion, but you're taking the Lions to win. Okay, I like them with the points. I don't necessarily. You know what? Let's do our pup of the week now, Martin. What do you like as your pup of the week? This is an underdog of plus 150 or more, Shaq, to win the game on the field.
Martin, I'm now fully up to speed here.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad that Dave finally understands. It's only week three. I'm going with my co-host, and I bet this team
who hit in week two.
I did too, but go ahead, Martin.
Who hit in week one?
You're going Lions also?
Everybody else, raise their hand if they hit in week one. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'm going with the Lions. I hit in week one. It was me, Will. It was me. Now, I'm going with the Lions. I like the Lions as well. Like everything that Will just said. And also, Will didn't say how he divulged a story on Nelman Pepper Parlay about one time he was sitting next to Kirk Cousins in the cafeteria. And mm-hmm. ever since then, I feel betrayed by him. They didn't tell me this a week ago before I had to bet on that Monday night game. But now that I know this Kirk Cousins truth, I'm really superly, overly done. Like I said, I'm super done. I'm going with the Lions. They're going to win this game.
Wow. All right. See, maybe I guess the friendship is only so strong. Maybe I overestimated. All right, Shaq, what's your pup of the week?
Boy, oh boy, I am really, really.
Shaq got the Browns.
I don't know. I'll tell you the one that's looming out there. The one that's looming, I do think it's great that Amazon and Thursday Night Football and the matchup is Jacoby Brissett and Mitchell Trubisky. That's great. Yeah. That makes me laugh. The one that is super tempting out there is the Justin Herbert. What's the state of his ribs? They're laying seven there. So, you know, if it's Chase instead of Justin, plus 250 for the visiting Jags ain't too bad. But I am going to go with, I really want to go commies, but I'm going to play it a little bit safer. I'm going to go with the Cardinals at plus 158 at home against the visiting Rams.
Mm. All right. I don't love that. We'll dive deeper into that game. But I mean, there is that revenge factor. The Rams smacked them around in the playoffs, right? And now it's in Arizona. I just don't know what to make of that game from last week. All right, I'm going to surprise y'all. I'm going Jets over the Bengals. And I think earlier in the week, I probably said, oh, this is a gimme. Talk about a revenge game. The Bengals screwed that game up last week. But is it possible Joe Flacco just needed a week to relearn how to play football, and now he's as good as – you know, the bottom 10 quarterbacks in the league, Will Blackman? I think that's the case. Jets plus 185 plus. The Bengals have to show me something on their offensive line before I can't.
But that's not a big.
They're a 6-point underdog.
Surprise some people.
It is big.
Yeah. But yeah. The Jets beat them last year.
Well, I know. All right. So go Jet. You should be taking them too if you're with this. You got a big
with a backup QB.
Yeah.
With
listen.
That's right. They did. It was Mike White, right?
You got a guy who, yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah. Well, it's a must win for the Bengals. It pretty much is, right, Check? I know the AFC North can keep losing, although tonight's game is within the division, so they won't all gain on each other. But Jets plus 185, that's my pup of the week. Will, should we bet a bottle of wine on this Giants-Cowboys game?
No.
I already have a fish on my head. What wine goes with tuna?
Depends how it's being made. You want something
raw, light, on top of fresh, head. Crispy, that's how it's
yeah. It's just the raw. It's just raw, resting on
raw plus a little hair.
So you can either go with a Sauvignon Blanc here, like if you have halibut or something like that, or if you got like a salmon, you know, it goes well with a Chardonnay.
I'm telling you, it's a tuna.
PBR, Sal. That's the answer. That's what goes with the tuna on top of your head. PBR.
All right. Will, Lemon Pepper Parlay, everyone please listen right there on the Money Grab feed. We're happy to have you on board. This was great. We learned a lot about your friendship with
Martin. You sound happy. You sound super thrilled, Sal.
I am, yeah. You know. I shoot straight here. Thanks for coming on, pal. I appreciate it. All right, Will Blackman, amongst the greatest. Also the greatest. Oh, I'm going to list some names here. Caesar, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist. And now, yours truly, me, yes, Extra Points, now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. You know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from the others? It's the perks. This is the only sports betting app with Caesars Rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get rewards credits, which you can use towards game tickets, bonuses, experiences, free stays at iconic Caesars destinations, and more. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars. Up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, and go full Caesars this season. Oh, and Caesars Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged National Responsible Gaming Disclaimer. National RG, yes. You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you stop. If you have a gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. If you're someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. And Harrah's New Orleans Casino. In Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or visit connectsontario.ca. Call 1-866-531-2600. Call or text Tennessee Redline at 1-800-889-9789. Let's take a quick break so I can catch my breath, and we'll be right back with that Thursday night game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go, Shaq. Here we go. Thursday night football. Your steal is already. Here it is. At Cleveland. Boy, that's a big number. 4.5, 38.5. Shaq, you know what? You put on that weird Yinzer voice mimicking passionate Steelers fans and, you know, saying, oh, they're panicking. And in the same breath, you called for Trubisky's head. You said you would take him out halftime last week. You still feel the same way as a short leash?
Well, as far as taking out Trubisky circumstantially within a 60-minute game, doesn't mean you can't go back to him later on. You know, you're still developing the kid. That's the luxury that I am pointing at when I say you can't do that to a future Hall of Famer playing in his 18th year, whatever it was for Roethlisberger. If you pull him halfway through a game, you can't then say, hey, you're back in next week. Don't worry about it, guy. He would never go back in. This is a different situation. Now,
this is for this game, of all time. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, logical or not, this new display of intolerance. I mean, last year's Big Ben wouldn't have lasted three drives under your watch.
Like I say, it's two different standards. Obviously, one guy is 18 years into his career and is headed to the Hall of Fame. He's earned it. Mitchell Trubisky's been here for 3 minutes. What I think he provides, what the whole summer was filled with, was the Matt Canada playbook. And by the way, the histrionic behavior of those on the banks of the Three Rivers is what I'm laughing about, is stuff like people are dialing up Todd Haley, the former offensive coordinator, and really trying to conjure a path. Like, dude, how do we get Todd Haley back in as our OC? It's like, now that's crazy. That's intolerant, and that's loco. But what you want to see from Trubisky is for him to run around a little bit. That's his virtue, is that he's a big dude who can move, whether it's designed rollouts, designed runs, or when things break down, doing stuff off script. That's what Mitchell Trubisky has to do. By the way, as far as that goes, I am convinced that this is a great play. Over 13.5 rush yards for Trubisky tonight is a nice little place.
That's funny because I'm going over 12.5 for Brissett, but interesting. Maybe they both.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Funny. Yeah, I find him a clunky runner.
All right. But, well, what about the game itself? Which way are you going? Down to 4 and 30.
It's down to 4.
You've picked against the Steelers twice now. You're going to make it 3 in a row?
I'm going to avoid that role. I was correct last week by picking the Patriots. This time, I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers here. The 4 scares me. When it was at 5.5, I was more comfortable going with Pittsburgh, but I'm going to stick with them here. The Browns are themselves a team in some turmoil after blowing that one. Defensive players only meeting. Weird stuff to be doing 2 weeks in if you're Miles and company over there. It amounts to me to the Steelers. Coach Tomlin, one of his big things is AFC North football, and winning those games is outsized. Some coaches focus on it more than others. Tomlin definitely makes a point of prioritizing those games. I think he goes into Cleveland and escapes against let's remember, it's Jacoby Brissett, everybody.
Yes, but and Martin, you brought this up on Lemon Pepper Parlay, and I think it's a good I feel like it's unfair to blame Nick Chubb because their defense fell apart. Also, when it comes time for contracts talk, you're comparing your numbers against somebody else's. So it's the only sport. It's really the only thing I can tell, like any workforce, where you would want to stop yourself from doing what you're supposed to do in order for your team to win. But that's exactly what happened. And I think Brissett got screwed too. Like, he had a great game. I think people would have been saying maybe you would have heard some Deshaun Who chants if they're 2-0 and Brissett is leading this team like he is offensively. Like, so I think we got out of that game. It took it the wrong way, but it was a colossal setback. But which way are you going with the 4-38?
I'm taking the Steelers here. And it really is a fade of Kevin Stefanski. I have no faith in the Steelers offense to do anything whatsoever. But that's been the same for the last 3 years. You know, just because this new face is a quarterback doesn't change anything for me. Yeah. I like Stefanski is 7-15 against the spread as a favorite and 1-11 against the spread in the division. And with a total at, 38 and a 5-point, 4.5-point spread, this is not going to be a ton of points scored here. I like Pittsburgh to be able to keep it close. And a Browns team that, like you said, having defensive meetings like at week two, like that's not great. They're already falling apart. It happened a few weeks before I assumed it. But I do have to end this point with the idea that if you took out Ben Roethlisberger at like sometime in the third quarter and you wanted to start him again next week, makes all the sense in the world. You just go, hey, you know, he has something wrong with his elbow. But if you take out Mitch Trubisky and put in Kenny Pickett, effectively, you're benching one of them. The guy, you know who didn't get, like, you take out Eli Manning at halftime, you know who got fired? The coach, not Eli. You know what I'm saying? It's like, he came right back in there. It's like, was it some big moment? Was it some referendum? Did he not play more games? No.
It's not a bad point, Shaq. It's ridiculous. Not bad.
It's one of your worst, Dave. Well, one of your worst.
They fight. Well, I mean, I think talk about tenure guys. You think Mike Tomlin's job's going to be in jeopardy if he had done that? No. I mean, Roethlisberger was hanging on by a thread. No, I don't get the math exactly, and I'm surprised. The both of you guys keep pushing back on this point as though it's something we've never seen before, that you might, when you don't have an answer that is an A at quarterback, if you have some apparent C pluses or whatever you would rate these guys, that – okay, we'll change your pace. This offense isn't working.
I'm pushing
when
back because he won a game. He won a game he wasn't supposed to win already against Cincinnati, and then he was in a game against New England. And that's why I think it might be premature. That's the only thing I'm pushing back at. So,
well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, with this thing, all the hand wringing about, Tomlin, come on, you got to put the kid in. Yes, absolutely. I'm anxious to see the kid as well. Tomlin, you know, people say he doesn't owe anything to Mitchell Trubisky. That's the secret sauce, or maybe it's not so secret. You know how after Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell left, only then people said, I guess Tomlin did a pretty good job of managing the egos in the locker room there. Same goes here. It matters that you treat veterans a certain way. You heard Will Blackman talk about players sort of vibing off of the coach with Dan Campbell. I think that's certainly true. The Steelers treat their players, generally speaking, well, and that has an impact on the way the rest of the league and free agents and otherwise regard that. It's not about one game or 3 week stretch or anything else. Tomlin can't mistreat a veteran who they just brought in. He's given him his shot. If he fails tonight, I think then that it is reasonable to think we'll see Kenny Pickett.
Maybe was it Mr. Trubisky a high pick? What about I thought the pedigree is supposed to have this big outsized matter, Dave, isn't it? Mr. Trubisky was taking like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many quarterbacks ahead of Patrick Mahomes?
Steelers didn't take him. That's not their issue. Of course, if they had invested in him with a high round pick, then of course, yes.
Babyface, jump in here because we have six other games to go through in 6 minutes. So go ahead.
I feel like I can help everyone out here, and maybe Dave will hopefully agree. The offensive line is damn terrible. It doesn't matter if Terry Bradshaw is back there, Ben Trubisky or Pickett, and forget about the offensive coordinator or quarterback. It might be the offensive line, and it would be great if Najee could help a little tonight and that line could hold together and give Trubisky some time.
The only thing I'll say about it is this, in terms of what to expect from the Steelers offense. They're not going to, reinvent themselves in 4 days, but I do think that they are going to impress upon Mitch. And I know this is a crazy thing to say. I'll be proven wrong maybe in the next few minutes or hours. I won't be surprised if they put Kenny Pickett as the third option or don't dress him and Mason Rudolph is ready to roll. It's going to be windy in Cleveland. I wouldn't be surprised if this isn't my idea. This is my guy, Randy Bauman in Pittsburgh. I don't think that is as loco as it first hit my ear when he floated that idea, but they're going to look to push it a little bit. Counterintuitive or not, when your best player is a defensive star who has a habit of wrecking the other team and turning the other team over in second halves, and you don't have TJ Watt right now, you have to hit the gas a little bit more. You don't circle the wagons, as Todd Haley has suggested, and play it tighter. Not when that guy is a defensive guy. You have to make more plays offensively to offset his absence. I think they're going to try to push it downfield a little bit more against what's been a spotty secondary.
Interesting. In Cleveland. All right. So far. I'm going to go the other way. I like it. I like it under. I'm taking a teaser. I took a teaser last Thursday night, and it was a similar spread. Everyone went bonkers on me as if I was putting $100 on a 25-team parlay. No, two-team teaser. I had the Chiefs in the over. The Chiefs didn't cover. The over didn't cover, but I won my teaser. It's beautiful. You take away 6 points from each. I'm getting Cleveland now, plus two. I'm going under Shaq 44. I think this is a 23-17 type score right in there. And that's why I'm taking Cleveland and the under on a parlay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then as rapidly as possibly as possible, let's go through the rest of the slate. All right, Ravens, Patriots, New England, a healthy 3-point dog at home. Everybody likes the Ravens here. This is everyone's Ravens get right game, not so fast. Patriots, 4-1 against the spread in their last five at home. Mac Jones, Jacoby Myers, breakout game. Here we go, 26-23. Pats, Sheck, what do you like?
I'm floored by that. This was going to be nothing short of, to 3 weeks in, my pick of the season. Ravens minus three, lock it up, whatever, however many chunks you want to put on that versus the rest. This is where you go heavy, except Lamar Jackson has a bum elbow. So now I'm spooked by it, but I'm still going to go with the Ravens here. I just can't go as heavy if I would, LJax wasn't showing up on injury report.
Martin, I hate the secondary, which is still not completely healthy. I hate that they can't run the ball and hold leads. That's why I'm taking the Patriots. Which way you go?
I'm taking the Ravens, but the fact that this number has been three since the Lions ever like came out, and whenever they came out over the summer, and it's had no movement over two games, no movement over this week.
Actually, 2.5 on Caesars now. You like it even more.
I like the Ravens, but I am terrified of it. Like, because it just feels like the square play. It feels like when I'm watching this game midway through the fourth quarter, I'm going to see that 98% of the public bet on Baltimore minus three. Like, it was like Darren Ravello tweeted, it was the most bet game. It was the most bet side. And that's where I'll be holding that ticket. But I'm going to go with Lamar and his MVP candidacy.
More AFC East here. Bills at Dolphins. Is this still six? Let me check this line here. I think it was six, and it is, now 5.5. Short week on the road, laying almost a touchdown. I would almost always go with the home team, especially when the home team exploded last week against the Ravens. But I'm going Bills. I say it every week. I felt foolish taking the Titans plus 10. I bought it up to 10.5 on Monday, and the Bills smacked me in the face. I am betting the team, Martin, was punted three times in eight quarters. And one of those punts, by the way, they recovered. 30-20 Buffalo. Which way are you going?
I'm going to pick the Dolphins, but as I said on Monday's pod, or Tuesday's pod, rather, I'm not putting my money against the Buffalo Bills. I'm not trying to bet on when that train is going to stop. I think just with the speed on the outside, if anybody's going to do it, we saw the blueprint for Miami's offense and how good it can look in the last 10 minutes of that fourth quarter. But again, I'm not betting against that train of Josh Allen, but I'm picking it up.
All right, Shaq.
These are the two most prominent exceptions that prove the rule early on. The defense in pro football is winning so far this year, which is a rarity this early in the season. I feel like the Bills defense has been a little bit better. We don't have Austin Jackson for the Dolphins on the right side of their offensive line. Armstead, I'm not sure if he's going to play for now, especially with it down to 5.5. I'll take Buffalo.
All right. Chiefs, Colts. I'm looking now. This is still 5.5. 50.5 is the over. The Chiefs are favored on the road. I love the Chiefs this year. Not as much as our friend Jeff Schwartz, but because that's impossible. But I didn't think they'd fall off as much as some. So far I'm right, but I think a little bit of a letdown against a team that absolutely needs to wake up. Colts are a decent bounce-back team for gamblers, 4-1 against a number in the last five after a straight-up loss. JT gets going here, shortens the game. Matt Ryan, if he doesn't try to do too much, this will be a 28-24 type game. Give me the points. Shaq, what do you like?
Overly clever public bettors are going to go on the Colts. Am I right about that? That's why the numbers dropped. Well, then count me in that group. I'm going with the Colts. Hench made me do it on -3. He talked me out of he's so big on the Chiefs. It's week 3. Weird results there. We think we know all about the Colts. Remember, the Chiefs really, really should have lost at home to the Chargers last week. I mean, repeatedly. It wasn't one play that was.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. I mean, I don't understand. We're just in different camps here. You're going to love. Well, I think both quarterbacks could have thrown 4 interceptions. So I would say, but to me, it's like everyone's takeaway. Everyone loves Herbert. I get it. He's great. But he's the one who threw the pick 6, not Mahomes. You would have thought like Mahomes went 1-for-20 with 3 interceptions. So
he throws risky passes, or at least he did in week 2 and should have gotten burned for it. And he would have been down 10. He would have gone to the locker room with a donut next to his team's name if that interception in the second quarter had counted, which it obviously should have. And Samuel almost got him for a pick 6 himself in his own end, throwing the ball into the Chargers end zone.
More should have been gone the other way. More hatred for the Chiefs. So you're taking the Colts. You do hate them. You hate them. Fourth play. They have to end up in the cellar for you to be right.
I just don't like Jeff Schwartz's text messages all the time. Like, oh, such a loser. You took the Chargers. Yes, it's insane that I think the Chargers play well against the Chiefs, which they do every time they play each other.
Martin Weiss, Colts or Chiefs?
I'm with the Colts. I think that, again, the Chiefs have just been running. Like, I'm going to try to bet. That's the trend I'm going to try to catch. Instead of the Bills, I'll try to catch the Chiefs. The Colts are better than what they've seen the last 2 weeks.
And Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce are back too, I believe they practice. All right, Packers at Bucks. I mean, this is the premier NFC matchup, right? Bucks 1-point favorite, 42 is the over-under. Weird Brady versus Rodgers, and yet I think you guys would agree, both defenses are by far the shining lights of these teams through week 2. I think no Mike Evans makes a difference here, evens the playing field for a team, for Bucks, who are probably slightly better going in, 157 rushing yards per game. I get it that it plays into the strength of Tampa Bay running against them, but Aaron Jones could have a monster year. Rodgers to Sammy Watkins, that works for now. It'll continue. Packers pull out an ever so close one versus Tampa, 26-24. Martin, who do you like?
I'm going with the Packers. I think that the Tampa Bay offense is incredibly concerning to me. A, they don't have anybody to throw the ball to. And if you just look, I don't think they've taken advantage. Like, they haven't looked great, especially blocking through the first 2 weeks of the year. And I'm going with the Packers. And I know that they have the Tampa Bay defense is really good, and the Packers are going to try to run the ball a lot. But I think Packers offense will get better and better and better as long as they stay healthy and they continue to practice.
Check.
I'm going with Green Bay. You mentioned Mike Evans. Akeem Hicks is not a minor absence either for a team that's been great at stuffing their foes from running the ball here. A tight one, but you said it, Sal, because that was going to be my next question for you. It's funny to look at. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, and the total is 42. You say they're breezing past that for the over. I'm going to avoid the total on that one and just ride with the pack here.
Might be a defensive touchdown in there. Maybe that's what I'm counting. And all right, check. I know you have the Cardinals. That's your pup of the week. I like the Rams. I don't believe this is one of my things. This is how you are with the Chiefs. I kind of just have to go against the Cardinals. Hench brought up a good point that, you know, Kingsbury has his head like dug into that play sheet that, you know, that basically what it amounts to a Cheesecake Factory menu, and none of it matters. And I think, Martin, you alluded to it too. Like, yeah, maybe this is why Kyler Murray doesn't study tape, because it's all improvised anyway. I don't think this is going to be a revenge game. I think this is a breakout game for Stafford and Robinson and Kupp, who doesn't cough the ball up. 31-13. I'm going Rams big. Yeah, Shaq, you want to add to your thoughts about the Cardinals?
No, I'd say you're hurting Spaghetti's feelings. The Cardinals are his NFC representative in the Super Bowl.
No, that's right. Yeah. Well,
sorry,
I'm not going there.
Sorry, Spaghetti. The Rams are going to win this game. They're going to win it big. Yeah, everything is leaning towards the Rams. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised. I would have liked it up to like six. The Cardinals should be 0-2 if Kyler Murray hadn't gone crazy at the end of that game. And to what point, if you had just followed the Cheesecake Factory menu that Cliff Kingsbury's got glued to his nose, he would have probably finished the game with like 125 passing yards, right? Like he was all doing that all on his own. And if you – Sean McVay against Cliff Kingsbury, 5-1-1 against the spread, 6-1 straight up. And all six of the wins – by an average of 14 points, and the other two by more than a touchdown. They're going to cover 3.5 easily.
49ers, Broncos, let's finish this up. Sunday night, I have to think, well, I didn't see the line in the beginning of the year. Obviously, I don't look that far ahead, but what would have been the week three line for this game if it's Trey Lance at a Russell Wilson who is playing better than he is? I would think the Broncos would have been favored close to 3, right, Martin?
Well, I can tell
you. Instead, it's Niners 1.5.
I can tell you, I got it last week before Trey Lance got hurt, and it was 2.5 for me.
So really?
I got the Niners at 2.5. I like them up to 3, honestly.
Wait a minute. Wait, the Niners are favored this game.
I had – no, but
– What did you get them at?
On Sunday night, the Broncos were still favored in this game. The Broncos were favored Sunday.
I got you. So 2.5.
Now, after the games have all settled on Monday, it's now San Francisco.
Okay.
It's now the favorite. But I had when I saw that
I like the Niners.
I like the Niners too. I like them up to at least 3. It's quite simply, the Broncos, they can't score in the red zone. They don't throw the ball deep. They have to say the worst coach in football feels unfair because he's not qualified at this point. It's shown to even have the qualifications to figure out being a head coach. Like at this point, it's on the people who hired him. It's their fault. So it's like it's the only team with a new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new quarterback, and you see all the struggles with it. They don't figure it out here.
22-17 out of the Niners. Sheck, they're 6-1. Their last 7 overall. Good.
Of all the games out there, minus the Falcons and Seahawks, which makes no sense, which is a garbage game, and who knows how to pick that one. But of all the relevant team matchup games here, this is my biggest stay away. I'm spooked by this one, but I'm going to go with the Broncos at home. Mm. It takes a minute to develop the chemistry. I don't know if Judy's going to be out there. It looks like he's tracking to not be, but Cortland Sutton is enough for me. I'm going to take the Broncos on a hunch here. That they figure it out now 3 weeks into the season.
All right. There you go. We did it. We hit all the big games. We talked to Will Blackman. We talked about cooking. We handled it all. ExtraPoints.com/arcade. We have a pick'em contest. We have a head-to-head, and we have a prop quiz. What were you saying, Martin?
I was saying I got one game that we didn't talk about that I'm worried about. And I think that the New Orleans Saints are an upset alert this week against the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, really? 3-point favorite wouldn't be huge.
Really
wouldn't be huge.
The Panthers in that game. I think the Panthers have a shot to win.
I like the Saints. I don't know what Jameis. I mean, has he practiced enough this week? I mean, that's obviously a lot what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, it's just for me. Like, I feel like I generally have a good pulse on that team. They should have beat Tampa this week. I don't feel good about it at all.
All right. Shaq,
I have to let me just tonight. Say one thing very quickly. Thank you very much. I want to say very quickly my two favorite college plays: Florida, the Gators +11. They're playing the Vols. I don't want to upset Mr. Manning, but I like Florida quite a bit there. That the range of the roller coaster of reaction to Gators results. Now this is the time to jump on them. And my Hoosiers are playing the Bearcats in Cincinnati. Go over 54. That number seems very low to me.
Oh, there you go. All right, we're gonna be going over college and with against all odds, Florida, Tennessee, Arkansas, A&M, maybe Clemson, Wake Forest. Wake could be on upset alert. That could be fun too. That could be a good one too. There you go. So extra points. You just heard it. Against all odds, we'll go over the Thursday game and the weekend games and Lemon Pepper Parlay with Will Blackman, our guest, and Martin Weiss. Waiver Wired was fun, right, Spaghetti? You and Jen Piacenti. And Megan Fun of Sports.
If you're driving around Saturday evening between 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern time through football season, tune into Fox Sports Radio because that's where I'll be.
That's where you'll find Martin also. All right. That'll do it for another episode of Extra Points. I just want to remind everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites.